you know, passion and attitude pretty much overrides the rest. You know, skills are something I think that can be picked up if you have the necessary aptitude and attitude. But attitude is something that becomes very difficult to build, you know, later.
You are listening to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast, the number one podcast in the world for leaders who want to be the best. Each episode is designed to help you recognize and overcome your leadership challenges and achieve great success at your work. This episode is brought to you by your host, Payal Nanjiani, a world-renowned leadership expert, executive coach, and author known for her leadership talks, corporate training, and executive coaching. To know more about Payal, visit her website, www.payalnanjiani.com.
Welcome to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. Change is great, but you go first. This is a phrase we often hear in the corporate and business world. Who wants to leave their comfort zone and try new things and fail and then again take the blame? It's better to be off that. This thought process is great, but only for mediocre leaders. Those who want to grow and succeed as leaders must imbibe change constantly. You've got to make change a part of your DNA. And so today, joining me on the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast is none other than Anish Bafna, the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Healthium MedTech Limited. Anish leads with a vision to create access to precision MedTech for every patient globally. His career spans 27 years with strong focus on the healthcare and devices sector, with stints in multiple countries. In his last assignment, he was the president rep in Japan for Baxter International. He's also served as the regional head emerging Asia at Baxter in Singapore, overseeing the operations of India and Southeast Asia from 2015 to 2017. And he joins us today on the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast to talk about Build for Change. Anish, welcome to this podcast. It is such a privilege and an honor to have you here in the studio today.
Good afternoon, Payal, and thank you very much for having me over. You know, this program has been so well appreciated all across the globe, and it's my privilege to be speaking to you today.
Thank you, Anish, and it's really, really the guests like you who make it so incredible. So, you know, to begin with, Anish, tell us a little bit about your backstory, because what I read about you was, you know, was just the tip of the iceberg, and you have so much to your career, and just from where you started, you know, where you were raised, how did you just get to do what you're doing? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, Payal. I guess in my case, it's just been going with the flow and just experiencing, you know, what life has on offer. But I was born in India. I was raised out here in India, did my education in India. You know, just started working in India when an opportunity came by in Vietnam. And Vietnam was a fairly unknown country for Indians at that point in time. This is in 1995. And I landed in Vietnam, spent about 4 years there, built a distribution network in the country. From there, you know, there was an opportunity with the same company to move to Indonesia. I went to Indonesia. It was a bit of a tough time in Indonesia because roughly about 2000 is when Suharto had just got dislodged. The country was going through a bit of a downturn. And, you know, I was asked to start the operations of my company in Indonesia. So I landed in Jakarta, stayed there for about 5.5 years, and then moved to Malaysia. You know, at Baxter, we had recently started our operations in Malaysia. We used to work out of distributor in that country. So moved to Malaysia, from Malaysia moved and came to India, which was a very unique opportunity because this was, you know, in a sense, the first opportunity of working in India. And this was in the year 2010. And it was brilliant because I was running a larger organization with a lot more complexity. From there, I, you know, moved into the region position based out of Singapore. I was taking care of the emerging markets, including India. Moved to Japan. I was in Japan for a short stint when this call came from Apex Partners, who were keen on, you know, creating a large medtech company out of India. Their view was that the Indian market is predominantly multinationals, and it is time that, you know, the medtech world in India also replicates the story of the pharmaceutical industry and how India has become a major global leader in pharmaceuticals. So 3.5 years back is when I landed in Bangalore with my family. That has been a very interesting journey, not only rediscovering India, but you know, clearly creating a footprint for the med tech, med device industry out here, which hopefully will foster a lot many companies like us and make not only India self-dependent in this particular area, but also you know, become a global leader by supplying you know, great quality products across the globe.
Wow, that was a great overview, Anish. You have a series of change in your career. Okay, so tell me when you thought of changing. And just before we started with this podcast, you and I were talking about how you left Baxter and you know came to India, and that entire change was something that you had to work on. So internally, in your mind, how do you work out these changes? Because you really have a series of them. So internally, what do you do that really helps you with this change and to make that decision to change?
Yeah, so I actually, you know, Payal, I take the easy way out. I normally end up in assignments which normally nobody else wants because of some troubles that have happened in the past. And that makes it easy because, you know, when things are at the lowest level, the only way to go is up. Mm-hmm. So I've always chosen assignments where the upside is much, much larger. I know that, you know, I'm not meant for maintenance businesses or businesses that sort of don't have an element of challenge or turnaround in them. Mm-hmm. So I've always chosen assignments which are about building rather than maintaining. And, you know, when things get to a maintenance stage, I actually start getting bored and I'm looking for the next sort of opportunity. Luckily, my you know earlier company gave me several assignments within the same organization, and you know kept me moving to different places. Mm-hmm. But you know, key comes from an element of mobility. You know, we like to explore new places, and it's not only me but also my family. We like to explore new places, new cultures, you know, new dimensions to what life has an offer. The other thing is that you know I revel in turnarounds, because you know, as I said, you know, when the going gets tough, if you do the right things, you know, you can really, really scale up significantly. So that has worked, you know, very well for us. Being open-minded is very, very important, because you know, when you get to new places, it's important that they accept you rather than the other way around. And once that acceptance comes in, you know, I've seen a very high degree of participation by all kind of constituents. And, you know, as sort of, you know, I'd read somewhere earlier that if you really want something, then the entire world conspires to make it happen. Mm. So I've seen that play out multiple times in my life. And it was just about going with the flow, you know, take on the next challenge, move on, be agnostic to the country that you're moving to, be agnostic to the kind of challenge that has been thrown, that you are thrown into, because eventually everything will sort of work out. You also have to be patient, because things may not, you know, and you are going to see more surprises in at least the first 9 to 12 months of such assignments. Then you envisaged, and you just keep on taking them in the stride and keep on building on that. And I guess what sort of has worked for me is, you know, making sure that I attract the best people around me, you know, make sure that you don't compromise on the quality of talent you're bringing in. And one is this kind of skills they bring in, but also the aptitude. So I look for people who are passionate. I look for people who have, you know, a burning desire to do something out of the box. People who, you know, take responsibility with a lot of accountability. And then it becomes fairly simple, you know, get the best people, empower them. And, you know, life then, you know, finds its own course. Mm-hmm. You know, takes you from one place to another.
But just with what you said, Anish, it does seem that you had a good amount of clarity, okay, at least to some extent, that this is exactly what you want. Like you said, I was clear on my needs and what I'm looking for. So I think that clarity part of it is something which many, you know, many leaders, many people, they miss out on, and that really holds them back from the change. And because you have a series of change and you have worked on so many elements of changing your, not just your job, but just the overall way that you think, like you said, you are known for transforming businesses. When did you realize the importance of change in your own life?
Yeah, I think, you know, pretty early on, I realized that for me, what really gets me going is the ability to solve a problem. Okay. And I know that I don't have all the capabilities to solve a problem, but I do have the capabilities of putting a bunch of folks together who can come together and solve the problem. But
that's why I'm just going to cut you here. That's the reason I think earlier you said that you look out for people who are comfortable with change and you build your team accordingly, I guess.
Absolutely, Payal. No, it's very important that people who are driven with a sense of challenge and a sense of purpose are brought together, because if the main ideology is countering with sort of what you're trying to build out there, then it won't really play. Mm-hmm. So, when I'm looking at the kind of team I'm working with, passion and attitude pretty much overrides the rest. Skills are something I think that can be picked up if you have the necessary aptitude and attitude. Mm-hmm. But attitude is something that becomes very difficult to build, later. So for me, it has been about being passionate. I've not worked a single day in my life. I love what I do and, sort of that transgress any kinds of boundaries. But when the challenge sort of reduces and we get into a mode, where things are looking as if they're going on, autopilot, then I really start getting very, very, anxious. I feel then being inadequately suboptimally utilized. And that's when I start looking for something else. So I guess this has just been a general nature right from the first job. That's sort of I've taken through my career.
So tell me one thing. Did fear ever grip you while you were making any decisions of change, whether for your own career or for making any change in the business?
So there are always butterflies in the stomach, especially when you are, in a new geography, in a new business, in sometimes also an hostile environment where everybody is looking at you with suspicion. And, my view is that, trust is either 100% or 0%. And as somebody who has sort of landed, anew there, it is my job to make sure that I, A, trust everybody to begin with and develop that trust in myself. And once, people come together and develop that trust in you, then the rest of the journey becomes easy. But it's, the first 6 to 12 months is always the toughest. You really do not know how people are going to react, how the market is going to react, how competition is going to react, how the landscape will work for you. Will you be able to adjust yourself and your family in that particular environment? So that butterflies in the stomach are always there. And I think it is good to have those butterflies. Otherwise, one tends to go with a sense of overconfidence. So to me, it is important that I sort of underplay my own strengths. get that knowledge, build that traction, build that trust over 9 to 12 months, and then sort of it manifests itself as time progresses. But there always is a fear of the unknown there. But it's also exciting. So it works both ways. On one side, you do have the fear, but the other side, it is an excitement of being in a brand new environment, brand new geography, and that works well for us.
So I guess the excitement has to overpower the fear. It has to be in more proportion than the fear is, and that's how you can take it ahead. But what about, if change is so important, like you've always mentioned, and you've practiced it in your own life, why do companies and people in general fail to change? What have you seen?
What I've seen is that people are happiest in status quo. I remember I'd gone to a particular location and one of the teams was at 90% of target for the last 3 years. And I spoke to the business unit head. He said 90% is good enough, rather than taking the risk of 90 going to 80. If 90 doesn't go to 100, I'm fine, but I don't want to risk it going to 80. So that sense of, and to your point, I'll connect it to that fear also. That fear of losing sometimes prevents people from going ahead and taking, because, any decision is fraught with some amount of risk or the other. And there are times where you'll question your own decisions. There are times where you'll question your own judgment. And if you don't have the guts to accept that, then you are going to, be very happy with a zone of complacency. Things are fine. I land up in the office at 9, leave at 5. I get my salary on time. Things just move. But then you don't grow. You know, you grow only once you are able to, you know, break out of that that zone, which sort of encompasses you. And I see most of the people, you know, unless either they have to be pushed in that direction, or they are just happy doing what they are, and then, you know, eventually either they don't grow or they are eased out. You know, and then we are seeing with the adoption of technology, it is becoming even more relevant that people accept the newness of pretty much everything in life. Otherwise, they are just eased out and they find themselves irrelevant after some time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as has been oft quoted, you know, change is something that if you don't change, then it'll impact you and it'll change you.
Yeah. So better you change before the outer forces make you change.
Absolutely.
So how hard is how hard was it with for you? Because like you said, you know, it's important to build the team, and then you've also seen the purpose. You know, when people join you, what's the purpose that they are joining HealthTM and your team? Now, when you have a great team, you have a budget, you have all the great resources. How hard has it been for you to bring about a change in the organization? Or in any organization that you have worked?
No, change management is itself a process. And, you know, you start with being a victim of suspicion. Because when you're trying to bring change, I think the most important element is people don't trust that you are doing it for the good of, if nothing, the organization, or for the good of them. So any change initially is met with resistance, and hence your leadership style has to be different in different situations. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, when I get to a new place, or when I move into a brand new job, you know, for the first 6 months, a lot of what I'm thinking is not really manifesting itself, and you know, people are left guessing. Because they do not know, you know, what is going to be the next step. You're making organizational changes, you're making design changes to the org structures that really impact them immediately. You're making choices around product strategies, you're making tactical changes across the go-to markets in the organization. So they look at you with a lot of suspicion initially, and you've got to be fine with it. So for the first 6 months, you know, I do tend to keep a bit of a distance from everybody, focus on understanding the business, the modality of work, the people in the organization. The next 6 months are pretty much, you know, in terms of making those changes. And then you start building those trust building activities. When you set the vision of the organization, when you start conveying what exactly you are trying to bring to the fore and how you intend to take it forward. And that's when you see people coming together and participating with you. Now, these time frames may vary. Somewhere it is, you know, 3 months, and somewhere it's 6 months. But when you are in a brand new, for example, when I landed in HealthTM, which was a brand new organization, that entire change management trust building process took about a year or so before people said, no, I mean, the intention is to create India's, you know, large medtech organization. The intention is not sort of personal in nature. But when you do it in the same organization, you already have a reputation, people already know you. So it's relatively easy when you're just changing locations or jobs within the same organization. This was a completely different, so it took slightly longer.
Okay. But, you mentioned up so many points, Anish. You mentioned about purpose, you mentioned about, you know, how you're going to handle fear and have a vision, like you said. If you were to put everything together, what would you say? You know, what does it take to bring about a change, not only just in the organization, but in any leader's life? You know, so how can we all embrace change for ourselves and for our organization? What would be a few points that you would say on this?
So, you know, I look at life very, very philosophically. And, you know, the way I look at life is there's only one thing that sort of is defined. The rest is all the journey, and the journey is you know, sort of, nobody can predict how the journey is going to play out, right? So, you know, in this sort of journey of whatever 70, 80, 90 years one has, how do you make sure that, you know, you keep on gathering different experiences too? So for me, it is about creating memories, and it is about creating experiences throughout this journey because you know, I know that the process of aging will take place. I know the process of evolution will take place within myself also. And if I miss out on an opportunity, then it's just passed us by, right? So I think this realization that, you know, the you've got to really enjoy the time you have, you know, both personally as well as professionally, and keep on evolving yourself, keep on learning. You know, the way I look at it myself is, you know, I look at myself as a sponge. You know, my job is to just keep on absorbing. So every day in the evening, what I calibrate is, what did I learn today? You know, and most of the learning comes from young people in the office, you know, who sort of I interact with. You know, it happens from customers, it happens from, you know, various sources that I do, but my focus is on learning, right? So, you know, the sense of humility about yourself, that you just know a fraction, not even a fraction, and infinitesimally small amount of the knowledge there is, and there is so much to gain, and to take every day as a learning experience, as a, you know, experience in evolution. Once you have that sort of clarity in your mind, then accepting new things becomes easier for you. And that becomes a key consideration for change management, because when you're ready to change yourself, when you're looking at yourself as a sponge and keep on, you know, sort of absorbing, you start viewing the world very, very differently. And that sort of, you know, gets manifested in the actions that you take. Now, it's easier said than done, but to me, it is the openness of accepting life as it comes, and, you know, the humility that, you know, everybody else is better equipped than you, and, you know, what are you learning from each and every interaction you're having. That helps you to evolve, and then, you know, accept the change.
True. But I think you wonderfully put that statement, that when you bring about a change inside of yourself, can you really bring about any change in the people and in the teams and the organization? So, you know, it's wonderfully put. Like you said, it all begins with the change that you bring inside of yourself first. And throughout today's episode, I've been hearing of how you have changed yourself, taken those risks, you know, overcome those fears and challenges, got your family together with you, and all of you took those steps to make changes, not only in the, you know, through different countries and organizations, but also evolving yourself, like you said.
No, absolutely, Payal. In fact, we were in a leadership workshop just about last week, and there was a series of, you know, sort of programs we had, and we saw that the same behavior kept on manifesting from one to another, to the third, to the fourth, even though people were made aware at the end of it that, you know, these are the changes you need to bring in your own behavior. And my sort of, you know, view there was that it is so difficult to change yourself. When it is so difficult to change yourself, imagine how difficult it would be to change someone else, right? So the process starts from internalizing it and saying that, you know, I mean, I need to be in an evolutionary pathway and keep on evolving and keep on learning and keep on changing. When you have fixed, rigid mindsets, then change becomes difficult.
True, absolutely. Now, there is a quote that, you know, we picked up that you have said, is that the year 2022 will be one to optimize on the learning of 2021. Okay. What made you say that, Anish?
Yeah, I think the pandemic has taught us lessons in both agility and collaboration. You know, none of us had seen anything like this earlier. None of us were prepared for that. Some anticipated and managed the situation better than the others. But the fact of the matter is, irrespective of where you were, irrespective of who you were, the impact on you was pretty much the same. And, you know, everybody was going through the same risk, right? So to me, this learning or this lesson is something that we have to carry with us through the rest of our lives. And the lesson should not be about the fear that it enunciated in us. But, you know, there were incidences without precedence where individuals and companies, they had to react fast. There was no data available. You know, you had to take a bit of knowledge, bit of intuition, a bit of counsel, and just act upon it. And that made a large difference to how you made through the process. You know, some of us actually were not able to come out of it, especially after the second wave in places.
Oh, yes, places. Absolutely.
But it is very important that we understand that we have to be comfortable in the face of ambiguity. Now, you know, they say that, you know, such epidemics happen after 100 years, but nothing is written in stone. What if it happens after the 5 years? And it may happen in a very different format, right? So we need to be the biggest lesson is that we will have ambiguous situations. We need to learn to face it, and we need to be agile to manage them, you know, effectively. We saw situations evolving daily, and decision making was done, you know, in crisis mode, sometimes for prolonged periods. The agile adapted better. So if one big lesson has come out of 2021 is be even more agile and nimble than you were before, because if you're not, then you can really be wiped out in processes like that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in organizations like us, you know, we had to be, and you know, something like an India geared up very well. We didn't manufacture a lot of things that were required on a day-to-day basis in the country. But when we when we reached that position, you know, we had to keep supply chains running. We had to make sure manufacture was happening. We had to make sure that products that were not being manufactured in India started getting made out here, right? So battling every day was a new insight. New heroes emerged in this entire process. You know, decision-making mantle shifted, because earlier, you know, you had the top management taking most of the decisions. Now you have to think on your
absolutely team.
And you had a lot of people across the organization taking these decisions. And these are all learnings that sort of have come through, which we really need to adopt and, you know, refine and, you know, make it as a part of our day-to-day process, right? Otherwise, you know, things will get better, complacency will set in, and we will again get to the hierarchies. We will start creating more bureaucracy. We will stop innovating. We will take our own time and, you know, forget the principles and agility. And that sort of is where I think that, you know, this is an experience we should never forget.
Absolutely. And I like the hierarchy thing that you mentioned, you know, that it has to some place shown us all that we are leaders in our own way, in our own space. And we really need to bring out those leadership qualities wherever we are. Because like you said, these pandemics come once in 100 years, but who knows what's next? It may not be a pandemic, but it may just be something else, which is, you know, of the same intensity or much higher. So how are we dealing and preparing ourselves so that our organizations can also, you know, not just survive, but thrive through these phases of businesses?
Exactly. And one of the things I've been telling people is, you know, let not fear overpower you, right? Now I see if anybody has a cough, people just run away from that person.
I does.
You used to have cough, you used to have fever even earlier on. It's not that after COVID, others have disappeared. So, you know, of course, take the necessary precautions, but don't start being circumspect of everything around you. You've got to take this as a learning experience and you know, put it somewhere on the back of your mind and move on. You can't
live with it. Yes. You just have to know how to navigate all these things. So you mentioned about ambiguous situations, you know, that how this year of 2021 had caused these ambiguous situations for people, for businesses. So tell me, what's been your life's mantra to actually navigate through these types of situations and circumstances?
My mantra clearly is that, you know, don't live the same year, you know, 70 times and call it a life. You know, every year is different. Every experience is a different experience. And in a way, while, you know, this impacted all of us quite negatively also, I feel gratified that I was able to see a very crucial, phase in the last 2 years that a lot of earlier generations have not. And a lot of coming generations, I hope, do not. But just to have lived through a very different experience. And there are a lot of positives to it, right? You spend more time with the family working from home. You realize that, you know, the place of work is really not as important as we used to make it out to be. You realize how the power of everybody as a group came together in solving a lot of problems. You realize how the human ingenuity really took over. We've not been able to come up with vaccines for so many prevalent diseases, but here we came up with a vaccine in 9 or 10 months flat, and not one, you had 3 or 4 different vaccines that came out, right? This is clearly the power of the human brain. And, you know, as somebody says that, you know, only a fraction of your brain gets utilized. There's so much more capacity we have. I guess this was an opportunity for us to understand that there's so much more potential that we as a human race have. And, you know, there are clear distinctions between the human race and the rest of the animal kingdom, which has manifested itself over the last 100,000 years. Mm-hmm. But we really need to build upon that and, you know, keep on growing as a race. And that can happen only if we enjoy the process and don't spend time envying others, being jealous of others, or you know, being in mindful in mindless games that really don't benefit anyone.
True, absolutely. Wow, that's really fantastic, Anish. It's been such a great conversation. And you know, when you talk about change, I think you and I can just keep going on and on, because there is so much that we all can learn about change. And you're known as a man who brings about transformation in businesses. So who else better than you could have spoken about this? So thank you so much, Anish. It's been an honor to have you here. You've spent your time and given it to us here and to millions of listeners of this podcast. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Payal, for having me here. And, please continue doing the great work that you're doing. You know, our job as leaders is to keep making sure that we create a large factory of leaders across the globe. And you're doing a fantastic job. Absolutely. So I hope that this is a journey that you'll keep on building upon.
Thank you. Absolutely. And it's people like you who are here on this podcast. You know, I always say that it's people like you on whose shoulders we all stand to see what's ahead, you know. So you all have been the ones who are more instrumental in this podcast. So thank you. And here's to our listeners, wishing all of you loads of success. This is Anish Bafna and Payal Nanjiani signing off. God bless.